Okay, excellent. Welcome to Sister Circle 81. We're creeping up there. The other day when I was making sure that I was on track with where we're at in our LFP group call legacy, I was realizing that we're going to be coming up on 100 at some point within the next year or so. And I was like, we should just have an in-person party for that. That's going to be, that's amazing. Like, that is such a, you know, exciting milestone. Anyways, this is 81, and tonight we are going to be exploring the art and science of flow, which goodness knows, and you all probably do, that I'm very interested in, and of course, flow is very interconnected with the human experience and consciousness and thrive mode and all of these things, but it caught my ear the other day, and I think that's why I really wanted to lean into this tonight. It's also misunderstood, and it's also one of those kind of pop psychology things that gets not thrown around, but I feel like there's some misinformation about it, and it's kind of put up on this pedestal, you know, like flow state, you know, get into your flow state, and whether that's in performance and, you know, in the corporate workplace, or whether that's in athleticism, or so it occurred to me, like, oh, I'm feeling like I want to shine some light on this and explore this with the ladies and understand flow from a more multidimensional perspective, perhaps, or at least, you know, see what comes up in our exploration of it. So I'm going to pull in several things tonight that I think will be relevant and fun, hopefully. So as with a lot of the calls, not all the calls tonight, we'll do our check-in round, and then we'll talk a little bit about flow and just kind of tune in with our understandings or experiences of flow, what our perceptions are of it, just so we're all kind of aware of where we're at and where each other are at with it. And then we will do some experiments and potentially a couple of activities, and then we'll take a look at it from different perspectives and kind of see for ourselves what this whole flow thing is about. And then we'll have some fun stuff to bring out into our real lives or on the other side, outside of this call, to try on and see what this conversation might bring into our lives that we weren't aware of before, or maybe amplify or shift things a little bit in terms of thrive mode and otherwise. So I'm in flow right now. So just to full transparency, totally in flow. I've been in VIP day with a new client, which is amazing. I love what I do so much, and humans are so incredible. So she left about an hour ago, and I got decompressed, but I was like just buzzing. So I'm like, oh, perfect. Tonight's call is flow. I'm just going to show up and be like, here you go. Here I am. So that said, and I might use personal references about today in tonight's conversation. We'll see. It's just pretty apt. So let's announce, and Layla and I think somebody else might pop in the midst of that. So hopefully they do, so that we can all check in with each other. Let's do name, location. How are you feeling? Help us tune into you. How are you feeling physiologically? Emotionally, maybe just kind of help us tap into you in the moment. And then what are you curious about or interested in when it comes to flow? What attracted you to this call, if anything related to flow? And we'll start there, and then we'll move on to some activities. Any volunteers to start? A small group tonight, so everyone's pretty much hot seat. No hiding here tonight. Thanks, Kim. Go ahead.
All right, Kim.
Hello, everybody. I am in Youngstown, Ohio, and let's see. I am feeling. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm rather calm right now. I don't know. I'm feeling calm. And relaxed, a little rested. But I probably have a little bit of things playing in the background that I need to do. and thinking that I just might go to bed after this and let it all go just go into tomorrow, which sounds better than anything else. Let's see, what drew me to this? I think I'm always drawn to this conversation, and trying to allow myself the opportunities to do so more often, just to be in flow. And just like what I said about, you know, having those things playing in the background for me and then thinking, you know what, nope, bed sounds so much better, you know, and just trying to stay in that space. So I think the more conversations I have and the more I intentionally put myself in the space, if you hear something rattling, it's my dog playing with his toy. So the more opportunities I have for that, the more I am feeling like I'm intentional and allowing that to be in the space, allowing myself to be in the space of flow. So,
yeah. Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Who can relate with that to-do list that tends to just kind of, it's like the rolling credits, right? But it just nonstop in the background. And then that feeling of like, you know what? I'm just going to do it tomorrow. Right
exactly.
There with you.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Kim. Awesome. Deborah. Welcome.
Now, you know, I'm the one who always volunteers someone else, right?
I know. That's why I picked on you this time. Not giving you a chance.
I'm Deborah, and one of these days I will be able to say that I'm not in Dublin, California. And I'm feeling okay today, not as tired as I normally am at this time of evening, but you know, I kind of relate to what Kim was saying about feeling okay, but also having those things in the background that I know need my attention. Yeah. And then my curiosity about the topic. First of all, if it's a fun call, I'm there. Whatever topic, cool, right?
Thank you, Deborah.
But let's see. You know what? I feel like I probably have some confusion around flow. And I don't have a name for it, and you probably could help me, like that feeling of when we're, like I imagine myself floating down the river, going mm-hmm. with the flow of the river versus upstream. And so it's kind of like how to know the intuition, I think is what we talked about, right? Like kind of the relationship between intuition and flow.
Ooh, that's yeah. juicy. Thank you.
Hello.
Awesome. Can you say a little bit more about what you're not clear about or what you're curious about specifically, or is it more of a like, I think these are connected, but I'm not quite sure how.
I think they might be the same thing. I don't know. But if they're not, I would like to know the nuance. Yeah.
Mm. That's deep. That's really good. Maybe they're the same thing. I'm like, okay, call's over. Thank you, Deborah.
Right.
Love it. Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. All right, Miss Amy. Hi. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, so happy to be here. I mean, I'm with Kim. I'm in my pajamas. Here in New York. I'm in New York City, New York, in Greenwich Village. And I'm feeling really, really tired, but calm. I had a very interesting night. I lived here alone in my apartment, and I heard something in the night. I went, that's not a good sound. This is like this zippy sound, and then a clunk. And I went, and then I see the lights on. My little bedroom's up there. It's open in here. And then,
oh my God.
Like this little, there's my teeny bedroom and my teeny bathroom. It's New York. What can I say? Everything's teeny. Yeah. So I said, I better check that out. 3 a.m. So I open my bedroom door and I'm like, okay, that light, I really don't think I left that light on. Hello. Hello. I say over the balcony. I'm like, So I grab my phone and I'm ready to dial. 911. I come down the steps and I see the window's open.
Oh my God, Amy.
The screen's cut. And I look over there by my door. Crouching right there is a human person.
Oh my God.
Yeah, a human person. Crouched down with the hoodie on. Like, totally calm. I just was like, totally calm. Have no idea why. Kind of I do, but. And I said, honey, you gotta leave now. And I dialed 911. And it was a woman. And she stood up and she said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she went out my door with my purse. But she went out my door. And I'm like, 911, what's your call? I said, well, someone was in my apartment. Well, I'm sending the police. Are you okay? She's gone. It's okay. Because of COVID, there's been a lot of, you know, drug addicted homeless people back in the city, and it's just so sad. And my bike was stolen like 3 weeks ago. So then I asked the guy to please shore up the front door. The police came, blah, blah, blah. They said, well, put your coat on. We'll drive around the neighborhood and see if we can find her. And really, my heart just went out to this person. I saw her crouched over there, and I didn't know it was a man or a woman. And I just thought, oh my God, you had to climb in through the window to like live your life. I mean, it was just, I don't know. That's what hit me. And maybe, you know, or I was in flow and I just knew I was okay. Or I completely dissociated from my body like I do when from the trauma of my childhood. I'm just like hyperspace. But then I can't, what lands is just this really clear, seeing things very clearly. And I know this is a survival instinct from my traumatic childhood. It's just like, okay, you need to leave because you're not safe here, but I'll come in and I'll figure it out and I'll know just what to do. And I did, but I was a present to lots, all those feelings like, oh, that poor woman, she's desperate. She's come to this. And I just knew to stay just calm. Like, and I called her honey. I didn't know. That was just intuition, right, Deborah? I mean, or something. But she did, you know, she was completely in sweats. It could have been, you know, she was hunched over, so I couldn't see. She had breasts. Wow. But she stood up and just said twice, she goes, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And she left. And, you know, then there was a whole thing, detectives and things and all. I just went back to sleep. I couldn't believe I slept. I just prayed for her. I did. I was just like, she touched me so much. So I'm thinking of, and, you know, my purse. I keep my, thank God, I keep my phone and all my credit cards in one place by my bed. But then everyone's like, oh my God, you go, oh my God, and oh my God. And I was like, wow. In retrospect, right? Oh my God, what if that was someone was really hyped up on something, especially a man who sees a woman here in her pajamas alone. And she had just tried to smash into the neighbor's place and no one woke up. Anyway, it was an adventure.
Well, what if they had a weapon?
Or a weapon, mm-hmm. Which is what 911 asked, you know, does she have a weapon? I said, you know, she just politely left that she had my purse under her hoodie.
Right.
Because then after I locked the door,
I'm sorry, but I'm keeping your purse.
I was like, you know, you're sweet to call me honey, but like I'm still taking the purse because I went to all this trouble. But yeah, because my purse was hanging there on the chair. But I was just kind of fascinated by how I behaved there. I really was. I know that, you know, some of that is a survival technique that I've used since I was a wee little person. I think we have the same Jenny phone.
Oh, Layla. Layla and Amy.
We have the same Jenny phone. Yeah, but then I didn't, you know, it was something. And like, I'm not really in shock. And I talked to my friends and they're like, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, it was kind of interesting. And, but I did, you know, in my therapy this morning, I could very well see that that was like complete dissociation and this other thing comes in and it's how, yeah. So maybe some of you can relate to that. But there was also the witness who was way back here going, you're fine. That poor woman, nothing bad's going to happen. There was a flow state, I guess I could say, when you, we guys were talking about it, there was a certain flow of like, all right, well, I mean, there was a thought like, okay, this could go badly depending on who stands up and, you know, but I was just so, maybe that was just my heart space. I mean, maybe that was just like this, some higher self that just went, be kind. And my heart opened and flowed to her. That would not be, if you asked me if someone was in my house in the middle of the night, would I behave like that? No. I would say I would scream. I would like, you know, we're not a panicker, but I would like, you know, we know as women, our voice is our best defense most of the time, or initial, you know, frontline defense. But gosh, maybe that was some kind of beautiful blessing. I don't know. I felt connected to her and I was glad we didn't find her. Oh, I got in a police car and drove around Greenwich Village, you know, in my pajamas for like a half an hour looking for her. And I didn't really want to find her.
Wow.
But I looked, I did, you know, I'm like, okay. I don't know, that happened. So that happened. But I really am sort of something, I don't know, maybe all this, you know, I don't know, prayer and meditation and stuff I've done for all these years. Just that little higher beam came beaming in and just beamed at this person and calmed her down to the where she was like ashamed. I'm so sorry, she said twice. I'll take in the purse. But,
yeah. Oh my God.
Thank God, you know, anyway, it's just like cash. She got some cash, but so what? I'm sure she was high within minutes and all her friends.
Yeah.
Maybe that made her feel better. Yeah. Shit. Anyway, I got to tell the truth. That's what happened. So I'm pretty tired because I was up for a while in the night. And then like I had to get up early and go to a meeting. But a boom.
Heavens to Betsy, Amy.
Heavens to Betsy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a connection to another human.
Wow.
It was a really very interesting interaction with another human being. Because there's so much disparity here in New York City and everywhere. You know, the people who have so much and people who have nothing, to where they have to climb in my window to find, hopefully they'll find something they can sell. And to be that destitute, this just really chokes me up.
Wow.
Wow, I was right. It was this very strangely intimate interaction with that person. Because I think all that was in the field. You know, that was all in the field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm abundant and she wasn't.
Wow.
Yep.
That's so moving.
It was really intimate, strangely intimate. I ever had to, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I've been resisting saying this, but Fawn, I'm going to need your help. So remember this, what is one of those books you recommended to me, and I'm always asking you to remember these things, right? But in the beginning, the lady told the story of like she was traveling in another country and this guy tried to rob them. She was with her girlfriends. But then she ended up like connecting with the guy who was robbing her. That's what this is reminding me of.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about, huh? It's one of those 3 P's, the 3 principles, right?
My internal librarian right now is going to roll it.
The point is, it's part of the three principles, so hello. Maybe your story will make the next book.
Wow.
Well, I will certainly never forget it. Really. The landlord changed all the locks and things, but I had told him, it's not safe here. That front door's not safe, because I intuited that. Not only did they take the bike, and then he said, well, I fixed it. I said, it's not safe. It's not. It's
and did you get the window fixed?
I locked the window, Deborah.
Okay.
I locked the window, and I will now always lock the window. But I live behind a building. Like, you don't even know I'm here. So, but I knew the front door, then to come, winding down to find me. Like, you got to look to find me. So it was, and I've been thinking about her all day.
Wow.
This was a bit of my heart.
It sounds like you didn't feel threatened by her. You just felt, I don't know, was it love or compassion? But it sounds like she was absolutely no threat. I mean, even though she was in your house, but it sounds like you weren't worried that she was going to, like, physically attack you or anything like that. Like,
well, but, when I
saw... Am I wrong? Yeah.
When I saw her crouch there, but I didn't have alarm systems going off. But then it was like enough to where my dissociative self came in.
Mm.
It was, you're in danger, leave. And then, does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So it knew enough that there's someone in my house, and I just thought at one point, like, shit, I could be fucked here, because if that's a guy who's hopped up, or a woman who's just, out of her head, it could go differently. Mm-hmm. But then I think my fight or flight mom self would come in and just, but I don't know, I don't know. It could have gone very differently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my daughter was freaked out. My ex-husband, who hasn't talked to me, we're going through divorce, called. I'm like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I guess I should. And then when I talked to him, because I talked to him for so long, he's like, weren't you scared? I'm like, I'm scared now. Now that I'm talking to you. Now I'm scared. But, I felt vulnerable or something. I don't know. That, I don't want to take up all the time, but that is what happened to me.
Thank you so much for sharing this.
Who knows these things? Life is so... But I take, Paul knows me. Everything to me is, I make meaning out of. So it was meaningful to me.
Mm.
And that I felt this deep heart space.
Mm. Mm. I'm going to be super annoying.
Go ahead.
I think there's a distinction in the, like, and this is probably just for my semantic hilarious brain, but you find wisdom in everything. I don't see you making meaning out of things necessarily, like embellishing or elaborating, as much as there's so much wisdom in this occurrence that's unfolding, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it's significant, and it's more of like an embodied significance. Maybe there is some like insightful meaning, because there are a lot of connections that occur, of course, too. But I think I make that distinction because I talk a lot about, as you all know, I talk a lot about meaning making and how it's like usually unhelpful. but in the sense of in experiencing and then integrating our experiences, it's more of the like the embodied meaning, versus the like, I'm going to make a story up about this.
Well, I think, I'm so glad you said that, because there really is a distinction, because I didn't sit there and make meaning later. The experience was the experience in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that all happened in the moment and it was all there. I didn't go back later and go, well, I'll make some lemonade. That was sucked. And I'll make
right
out of that, because it just all was quite there in the moment.
Hmm. Yeah.
And the police, I was like, oh, your jobs are so strange and weird. And there were like 10 of them in here, and they were like all trying to be, oh, we're here to save you. And I'm like, "We'll help you, little lady." Now, they all, you know, like they all wanted their day in the sun. Now, can you tell me again what happened?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'll do a better story this time than I did to the other guy. I'll, you know, I'll pause in different places so it's more entertaining. But they were being so cute and being so like clear and, you know, kind and reassuring. Well, you know, you should really change those locks. I'm like, yes, since she took all the keys to my apartment and all the doors to get in, yes, I will change them. I will do that. Mr. Well,
we're just going to mansplain to you the obvious.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so, you know, oh, there was a lot of mansplaining, which was also delightful. It's like, And then they were using, you know, pop language, a perp, you know, like these words, these little catchwords. It's like, they are well into this. They got to go out tonight to a burglary. They are happy.
I'm still amazed at how many of them showed up.
Well, because there's been this whole hullabaloo.
Keep going. No.
That there's been, because of all the homeless and in the park, and there's been, you know, then they get in press, right? They're here because they're press. There's a lot of press on them, you know, in the news. I don't watch the news, but that's what one of them said to me. Well, you know, they're, I said that, you know, for like a week, there was a big police presence here, and yeah, well, you know, it's been in the media. It's like, oh, it takes the media to get you to maybe think about these poor people who are living in a park. Anyway.
What a scene.
It was a scene. It was like a movie. It's like a,
so surreal. And you were so grounded. Like,
yes, I was grounded, or I was in outer space. A little both, actually. I was in that liminal world. I was like, because I could feel the observer, and I could feel like, wow, fuck, not going to hurt me, that crouching person. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, this is amazing.
I was supposed to be, hi, I'm Amy, I live in New York. But there was there was some flow happening there. It had to be some sort of divine flow, kind of just send her love, which is what I did. That would not have been my ego response, ladies. I know, I'm just gonna send her love. That was like something beyond my ego self. Who would have gone, get out of here, you know, screaming.
Wow,
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm so glad you're okay.
Me too. I'm very glad I'm okay.
So glad you're okay, and I'm so glad that your navigation system, in your navigation of that, kept you safe. Yeah.
I was, you know, I don't want to take over this conversation.
It's a really great, if you don't mind, it's a really great touch point for the conversation of flow. It's like we get to unpack this in real time, in a sense. You just had this lived experience of like an actual like level 10 fight or flight, you know, moment, or you know, not that there's levels, but so I'm welcoming your sharing of it. And I think there can be some, I think there can be some really great referencing to what we're going to dive into. So I appreciate your conscientiousness. And if you feel called to share anything else, you're more than welcome to.
I do one more thing that just came to me. So I think that, you know, I'm older than you ladies out there. I'm 61. And I had a long practice, as I said, of meditation. I do a Psyche Soma Kundalini yoga, which really trains your body to withstand, to stand in the center of whatever's going on. I mean, that's the practice, really, to get you to be able, no matter what tension's happening or no matter what's going on, you can find like a centered place. It's an energetic practice, really. It's an energy clearing. And I was just thinking, when you asked that, I was like, that practice kicked in too. That practice was like, that's what it was to be in a really tense situation and be able to come to a calm place and be very conscious and behave and do the right thing. So I don't want to make it always pathological. Oh, it's because I was right. abused and I dissociated. There was something else there. I got to say that. Let's clear all that.
Good noticing, Amy. Yes. Because that would be meaning making, right?
Yeah. And I mean, okay, yeah, that would be meaning making. It also is true that that was a coping But, you know, so I've lived through that, and now I make, now it's part of, I've integrated that, and like, and I just used all those tools and was open to divine intervention or whatever you want to call it. Flow, heart-centered existence, which is so much what we do in Kundalini, you know, bring it to the energies, to the heart and open. Wow, that's really cool.
It's really cool.
Maybe all those practices work.
I'll say.
That is really cool. Okay, I just got that.
Wow.
Shit. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Wow.
And embodied. Yeah, embodied. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trippy. It's trippy.
Yeah. Who can relate with the experience of kind of being surprised by yourself in the way that you're handling something or handled something or showing up for something in real time and like surprised by how well or differently or more aligned you handled it? That feeling of like, whoa, yes, it is working, whatever it is. Can you ladies relate with that at all? Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it's like all of this work or all of this, you know, mindfulness and coaching and, you know, working on ourselves and being aware and being present. Oh my gosh, it works. Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm kind of tickling the circle here because I know all of you have had those experiences, and I'm fortunate to have been, you know, on the listening end of several of those, of like, wow, like this thing went down today and like I'm fine, or like I handled it and I'm a little rattled but I'm cool, you know, like I'm actually surprised that it went as well as it did. So yeah, thank you for modeling that for us, Amy. Thank you for sharing your experience. Thank you for your compassionate heart. Sharing your compassionate heart with that woman and with us.
Wow.
That's the healing of the world. Well,
yeah, but I don't, it wasn't weird. It wasn't me. I mean, certainly it was, but it was came through. Yeah. I was just like the vehicle for that. I felt like there's no thought process about it. So that's cool.
It's beautiful.
It's just the spirit that flows and got to open our little hearts. Let it flow. Let it flow. Flow. That's what we're talking about.
There we go.
Love flow.
Yeah. Amazing. It's really beautiful. I mean, one of the things we'll be talking about here in a bit is the how flow, in my experience, in my research, flow, being in flow opens us up to our true nature, which is our interconnectedness with everything, all the, you know, everything in the universe on a really energetic level. And so we're able to, like, we're tapping into intelligence that we don't usually or often have access to. And that humanity, that seeing of somehow something inside of you recognized and knew, like, I mean, we can't ever know, obviously, like the parallel dimensions of how things would have played out. So I'm not trying to spin a convenient fiction here, but what it sounds like to me is that you, because you were slowed down in that you were able to be in that state, your heart space and your compassion was there and felt the unanimity mm-hmm. with this other being. Mm-hmm. That empathy, beyond empathy. It's like a transmission. It's so beautiful. It's love. Love.
But she did too. She offered me twice, "I'm so sorry." Mm. Like, that was so heartfelt. That was what was amazing. Like, that there was the response.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Like, this is...
It is. Whew. Something.
It's humanity in the beautiful love of it, mm-hmm. of us.
We can do it. I know we can.
We are it.
We are it. We are it. It really is. I'm convinced more and more. It is just literally opening the channel for it.
Yeah. Open our nature.
Opening it up. Mm. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Amy. Anybody else have, that was a beautiful, beautiful share. Feel called to say anything? No expectation. I just want to open that up before we move to intros, move to Layla.
Just happy that she's okay. Like, I've been wanting to say that since she started the story. And just, I don't know, you know, of course, I just, yeah. In the same space, I don't know. You know, I think from the time you said you saw a person in the corner, everything in me was like, oh no, oh no, you know. So what you chose to do, or what was, you know, intuitive of you, you know, really showed forth. So I'm glad that everything happened the way it did for you. You know, if it had to happen, that response, you know, was reciprocated by that person.
Thank you. Thank you. It was fully, it was a real relay. Like, she received me and I received her. Wow. That's what I mean. It is very intimate. Yeah. Thank you very much, Kim. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a life-changing experience.
It's really something. It really was.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to be, like, have that immediate, so present response occurring through us, where, like, in ways that we would have acted differently had we thought about, you know, planned it out in our minds. And then later, like, reflecting on that version of ourselves, like, who was that person? And, like, who is this person reflecting on that person? Whoa, it's almost, yeah, it's a very, like, experiential expansion of consciousness mm-hmm. and experience of self that has just, it's so rich. It's such a beautiful experience, in a sense, you know, to be able to explore ourselves in that way, or yourself in that way.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad I'm okay too. I know it could have gone another direction for sure. I just knew it wouldn't.
Yeah.
No,
thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
The question. So that would be a curiosity for me, like, when, you know, in flow, there's always the other side of control, you know, like, you want to control something. So, not in any situation, but especially one like this, when that thought comes to you to control it and take it back, and then you may disrupt, you know, what could come out from that. That's my thing. Like, I tend to go towards control in a space, like, I'll flow, you know, for mm-hmm. for a little. And then like sometimes my thinking mind will catch hold of it, and then it's like, well, wait, you know, like, let's think about this. Literally, that's what comes up. So that would be my curiosity, and, you know, not just the situation, but also things like that, like when you're flowing and you know, and I know I've been in those situations and I have allowed them to go and things were okay. But I've also allowed them to go and things weren't okay. Like, how do you deal with that? You know, I guess is my thing. Cause then what I feel like I learned is that, okay, you can only go so far with the flow, and then you need to, you know, pull back or control it in some kind of way. Yeah.
Mm. Thank you, Kim. This is rich. This is really good. Yeah. Yeah. Let's definitely dive into that, actually, after Layla. That's a really great curiosity. Yeah. Like, there seems to be a signature, a difference in what we would associate as flow. And then there's this something else that we have a sense isn't flow. And what is that? And, like, which one's, is there better or worse? Like, how do we choose which lever to hit, right? Great question. Yeah, amazing. Thank you. Who can resonate with what Kim shared, where there can be these, like, moments of, like, oh. I can. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. All right, Lays. Hi, Layla. Welcome to the call. We're doing name, location. How are you feeling? And any curiosities about flow or questions or what brought you to the call?
Cool. Okay. First off, thank you so much for being so honest, Amy. That was, it was a lot, you know. I really appreciate you sharing that experience and, like, the wisdom from your experience, and like, as a listener, it's a lot to process, and I'm so, like, grateful that you're okay, because I ran through a few alternative scenarios in my head, and I'm not even going to bother going in those directions because it didn't happen. But it's like, I'm so thankful that you're okay. It's a lot to process. I feel all the emotions right now. And, like, before the call, I was a little, like, on edge, because I've been really focusing on my routine with my clients and just getting into a rhythm, a repeatable rhythm. And it's been a really successful week regarding that, which I'm really happy with. But today in particular was, like, a little, I think I got a little too caught up in what I was doing without taking any breaks. And when that happens, I go into autopilot, and I, all my energy goes into that task. And then I get anxious as I'm doing it, and my body's tense. I'm not in flow anymore. So I've been carrying that with me the last couple hours of the day, and starting a little bit into the call too, you know. And after hearing the story, like, or what happened to you, Amy, I was like, okay. It's like I had to take a lot of deep breaths just to kind of process. Like, if I was not on mute, you would hear me saying, That's crazy. Like, over and over again. It was just, wow. I mean, I definitely feel a lot of emotions. Definitely a lot of, like, love too, for sure. My heart's always very full when I'm on these calls, especially after hearing that story. I mean, it was, and a little scared too, you know, scary. And then I'm in where I am. That's the second question, right? The second question, where I'm at. I'm in Los Angeles for a little while. My I came for the breathwork seminar, and then my brother also needed someone to cat sit, and we also like spent some time with family. So I'm still in LA watching his cats, which is nice. And then what questions do I have with Flo?
Yeah, like any curiosities or like,
Oh, okay, thank you. Curiosities, like, yeah, I mean, I'm curious. Like, I know I've definitely been in flow state. Like, when I'm in jiu-jitsu and I'm having a really good day, it doesn't even mean, like, I have a good day. Like, I'm beating a bunch of people, because those are always good days. But the better days are when I don't care about those things, and whether or not, like we're grappling and I'm, like, I have the upper hand or not. It's just more like we're having fun and we're in flow and we're just laughing and learning and like our egos are down. And I love that state, especially because it's so difficult and you're going to gain the most when you're present, you know? So I want to know, I guess my curiosity is like, is that something can you be in flow state all the time? I mean, I imagine things happen and, you know, you might be out of flow state, you got to bring yourself back down. But is that even a possibility to be in flow state all the time? Because Amy's sharing that she's in this wild situation and it sounded like she was in a flow state. I don't know for sure, but that's what it sounds like to me. So I'm curious, is that something that you can carry with you all the time? You know, or if not, what does that look like? Is that like, can you be that way 98% of the time? My grandma's that way. She was always so calm. So that's my curiosity around that.
So good. Thanks, Lace. That's a really great curiosity. Anyone else curious about that one? Yeah, I am for sure. Cool. Thank you. Yeah. How interesting too. I just want to point this out because I think it's a fun reference point, and I'm going to use you as an example. So like when we're in a mode, you were describing your day and how things kind of got into this like kind of anxious, like super focused, right, mode, and how what your experience was like of that. And then you hop on this call and like Amy's telling this really intense story and it's like, whew, like you're just fully wrapped, your attention is there, you know, and all of a sudden you're like in this world that, you know, you just came from a completely different universe, it feels like. And then here you are, you know, listening to Amy. And I just want to like kind of hit the pause button on that, using that as an example of like how quickly our state change can occur, right? Like there's this myth out there that it takes 23 seconds to change our mood or our state or our vibration or whatever. Like usually it takes that long if we're really trying to effort it, right? If we're really like trying to think our way into that state change. But our state change happens in a split second. We can go from calm to panicked. We can go from panic to calm. We can go, you know, and film obviously is storytelling, and film, it elicits within us this whole experience and nothing's happening. We're not going anywhere, but we're in the story and we're following along and it's simulated in our internal world. And so I find this to be so empowering, because a lot of times anxiety in particular, or stories of unworthiness, or stories of I can't, or how am I ever going to, you know, X, Y, Z, like the gremlins can feel like 100 million pounds and a giant mountain to get to to even think about getting to the other side of sometimes. It can feel debilitating. It can feel like the idea of feeling better or being in a better mood can feel damn right impossible sometimes. And this is a really beautiful, I think, an important example of highlighting that we don't stay the same. We are not static creatures. We are always in a flow. We're always in a flux. We're always, in a process and in a flux. And Sid Banks, Michael Neal, said, in a lot of Eastern wisdom traditions, we're only one thought away from a totally different state of experience, oftentimes one that feels a lot better. And so it was just a really cool kind of thing to pull out here for a moment in reminding all of us and empowering us that we can voluntarily switch our state in a millisecond. It's absolutely possible. Nothing is permanent. And we can use that to come back into thrive. We can use that to come back into flow, actually. But I like to keep that in mind when my left hemisphere and my gremlins are really trying to convince me that, like, you're in a funk, just give up. Like, this is going to be a shitty day, or like, this project's going to take forever. Like, I just know that all it takes is a little bit of Fleetwood Mac and some running and I'll be fine. And that I don't need to change it also, right? Most importantly, that there's nothing wrong with being in a funky state, and I know it's going to change, and it'll probably change faster than I can even recognize. So, but anyways, does that make sense? The
question, like, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it's sounding like flow and mood are very similar.
Tell me more.
I could.
Well, what are you seeing? What are you noticing?
Well, right just now? In the sense that when I, waiting for the official definition, of course, but when I think of flow, it's not so much good or bad, like a mood, like I'm feeling down or I'm feeling happy, mm-hmm. but just that, I guess even the way Amy described it is like, regardless of the environment, you're like in a state of peace. And that doesn't change even when the circumstances change. But yet peace feels still and flow seems to be moving, So, hello. How did you see the face you made, guys? So it's like, yeah. So anyway, I don't know. That's just what's coming up for me.
Ooh, this is getting philosophical. I like it. Peace seems to feel still and flow seems to be moving.
I like that. Yeah. I wrote a journal entry the other day and I recorded a video about it. Because whenever my stomach feels like when I'm working on something, and my stomach feels weird, I think that I need to, like, take some deep breaths and calm it down. You know what I mean? But then I realized, but that could be excitement rather than anxiousness. And so when I'm creating something, like to teach it, that's flow. Like, I don't need to harness it or, like I said, control it. I need to allow it to flow, and it's probably like my meaning making of it because it has to do with my stomach. So yeah, so when you said that, I was like, oh, that's yeah.
Wow, Kim. that's really profound. Yeah. What just clicked there for you? What are you noticing?
I think mostly like when I said to control it, like it's not a, I can't describe it. So I'm going to need a second, but like there's no certain direction, I guess, almost feeling like that, like it's kind of, or even a right or wrong, kind of like it just, if you you know, maybe if I feel that I need to pull it back, that might be an honest flow thing. Like it might not be control. You know, it might just be the direction that it's going. So, yeah. Thanks, Deborah.
Wow.
To Amy, to Layla, to Fawn. Thank you.
That's amazing. That's a really profound
That
insight.
Was a flow, by the way. That was a right, flow. Right.
Everybody contributed.
Truly.
So it feels like the moment I start to think I'm understanding, then I get confused again. That's what it feels like. I'm in the flow, right? But I was like relating to the tension in the stomach and how we tend to label it, right? And I have a tendency to label a lot of things without the proper language for it. Like if I only have angry, sad, happy, whatever, right? Then everything is going to fit into those. Like if you have a hammer, everything's a nail, right? And so I just wonder, you know, hearing Kim speak, when you have those tensions or whatever, those tight feelings, or you're thinking, oh, I must be stressed about something, when really it could not be stress. Like she said, it could be excitement or, you know, so I don't know. It just feels like there's more to it and I don't understand it.
That sums it up. That is beautiful. There's more to it and I don't understand it. Like that is so beautiful, right? That's what we're up to in this life. You know, there's more to it and I don't understand it. And I'm not being whimsical with that. Like, I think that is so profound and so beautiful. And this exploration is how we gain understanding here. Yeah, sure. But more so we gain understanding in like what we just witnessed in shared with Kim, which she shared with us in this like, huh. And Amy earlier, like the Kundalini, that realization, that moment of, huh. Oh, wow. Like
that yoga is paying off.
I'm seeing something I didn't see before, right? That feeling of like, bing.
It's like or sometimes more and more, right? More and more, you'll come to more and more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's interesting to think of just listening to all of your beautiful thoughts. When I think of us as which we are, right? Balls of energy, right? I mean, we are atoms flying around and, you know, whipping around and then we're in this energetic world of matter and they're whipping around. We're all just whipping around. And it is amazing to me, generally speaking, that there's gravity. Okay, the gravity alone blows my mind every day. It's like, why do my feet stick to the ground? Oh yeah, there's this molten ball of iron that's in the center of the earth that's holding me here. Otherwise, if there wasn't gravity, everything would just be chaos and floating around. And so gravity, you know, I'm grateful for gravity generally. But there's these things of awareness that I don't even know where I'm going with this. I'm just going to go with the flow.
Good. Just go with the flow.
Okay. I'm just going to go because it's just coming through of what everyone was saying. But there is somewhere has to be a still point or there can't be motion, right? Because there's everything's opposite. So I think that in flow, there's also an absolute still point. So maybe the still point is the attention that we have on what we're doing so that the flow can happen. Because I think both have to be there. I was thinking about in Kundalini today, don't know why, we were doing this thing. And I thought, okay, I just felt like I was in the center of a galaxy. I know, weird. But I did. I felt that in its center point and all, you know, everything swirls around. And I said, well, that's like, that's our psyche. We're in the center of it somewhere, and all these thoughts, conscious and unconscious, are flying around like, what? And somehow we can hold this space of, you know, Amy or Fawn or Deborah or Layla or Kim. You know, we hold this space of this self. But I think you got to have both. Just that just came from wherever, but there it was. Because maybe because I had that experience in Kundalini and I had the experience today of just, I think there has to be a still point in flow. Just saying. It's like Taoistic, I know. It's Zen, but I'm throwing it out there. It came through. What can I say?
Beautiful.
Is it helpful? I don't know. I know that my embodied practices are very, very, have changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
That when, like Kim said, you know, when there's, when your body's telling you something, when you tune in there, your body, it's like a little antenna that's going, and we don't know always, okay, wow, is that spidey sense and watch out around the corner? Or is that spidey sense and, you know, Publisher's Clearinghouse is coming to my door with
yeah. Yeah.
$7,000 a month for the rest of your life. You know, I don't know. just because you signed up. We don't know. And that's also what's so fun about life and scary, right? Like that could have been the end of me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And also aware of that. I have this app called We Croak that, that every day it's like there's these death quotes. Because like just to remind you, you know, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm. That's very stoic. It's a very stoic
approach. You're going to die. It's also very like flow. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in this river of, you know, life, death, life, gift, and my thinking. And then right now I'm in this up. But so like notice, be here. Be here. Feel it. Feel your body. Feel the gravity. Mind blowing. That your feet are stuck to the ground. Except when you're doing, you know, jujitsu and you get those high kicks or whatever. But wow. We're trippy here tonight. We are just...
Ooh, this is like Philosopher's Cafe. I am in heaven. Are you kidding? This is my dream life. Thank you, ladies, for indulging me.
I know, mine too, right?
Truly.
I had, well, let me share one more thing.
Because
this was really very beautiful workshop I took last Saturday with this Jungian on Zoom. She's a Jungian movement therapist, Jungian somatic, she calls it. But she said the most beautiful thing about your body. She said, your body's not an oracle. She said, the body's getting too inflated. Where people think, oh, I feel this and that means that I'm that. And, you know, we don't know. Feel it. It has information. It's not an oracle. That's what she said that I thought was so brilliant. Because we all want these, you know, you go to some practitioners. Oh, a stomach, it's got to be your relationship with your dog when you were five. And like, yeah, I don't know. I just know it's like something's up and pay attention. That's what it, really what it is. Whatever it is, go, huh, what is that? I mean, oh, curious about it. Open up to it because it'll reveal itself when you're open to it. But I think what you're saying too, Kim, like when we jump too fast to an idea or a conclusion or, oh, that's nerves, you know, just to keep in flow with ourselves. What is that? I'd be curious about it. I don't know what that is. Could be scary, could be cool. I heard another thing today from someone, Louise Marie von France, who was a student of Carl Jung, and she said when she would get in the mood, she was a brilliant woman, she didn't ever push it away. She said, I just said, what are you trying to tell me? What is this? It's like her body, like, wait, you're speaking to me. What are you saying? And that's kind of in contrast to where I don't have to think those thoughts, but I know that there's a difference there. The thoughts are like these repetitive, like bullshit thoughts that we have that are like, leave me the fuck alone. But it's very different than, wait, I'm feeling something. What is it? And be attentive. Anyway. Yeah.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, everybody. This is sparking. Yeah. So much great thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Great exploring. Really, really, really great exploring. Yeah. And the body's not an oracle. Amy and I chatted about this the other day, which it's interesting because in the new module 4, I got this. I was out on a walk one morning, and it came to like the whole conceptual framework of module 4 like came to me within like a day or two, and I was like, this is awesome, like frantically architecting it out. But part of module 4 is I realized that we all have an inner oracle, right? Which Michael Neal in the three principles is like our inner wisdom, our innate knowing, intuition, or so essentially this like a space of wisdom that can emerge and that we can resource or we can be in connection with. But we don't always, well, first of all, we don't really know, we're not aware of it because our culture doesn't encourage that. And also, like, even if we are aware of it, it's easy to get distracted and forget that we have this, like, what I refer to as the inner oracle. And I think to just, like, pin something to the, like, the body isn't an oracle. There is, like, so much overemphasis, and this is actually a great point that kind of goes in with the flow thing, where pop psychology or pop culture, these things get so misconstrued and out of proportion, then all of a sudden it's like, your feelings are valid. And if you're feeling anxious, like, you know, like, you're like, lean into that. Let's explore it. Let's find out what happened to you when you were, you know, whatever. And sometimes that's helpful. I'm not trying to say that it's just generally not. But actually, no, feelings are simply energy moving it's just energy moving in the body. And Deborah, to your point, the simplicity of the vocabulary with which we've been given to understand our inner experience oftentimes habituates our left hemisphere to like pigeonhole stuff and label real quick and like, oh, I was feeling anxious, Kim was right. Like, but what if it's excitement? Or what if it's anticipation? Or what if my stomach is just feeling feelings? Like, just feeling a little buzzy right now. And what maybe if it was
something I ate?
Right. Maybe, what if it's something I ate? I mean, gosh, it could be anything, right? And so I love this mutual seeing right now of when we slow down before we slap the label on the thing, the meaning making on the thing, and if we can slow down and be with it, something, a different kind of information can emerge about it. And this is really what we're talking about with flow, or we're talking about with inner thrive, is this ability to listen versus, you know, automatically just be on autopilot, or listen versus search. Because searching, the way that we've been conditioned, most of us at least, is like, oh, well, I wonder why my stomach's feeling weird. Huh? Well, oh, you know what? I did get into an argument with Mary this morning. I'm pretty sure it's probably because Mary, you know, da-da-da. And then we go into like, you know, into the storytelling. And maybe that is what's going on. But I think that there's been an overemphasis on the attribution, and that we've societally confused conflation with accurate data about ourselves. So quite simply, just to kind of bust some myths right now, sensation in the body is sensation in the body. And when we slow down, we have an opportunity to hold the space for whether there's information there. If so, what that might be communicating to us, and allow for that alternative source of information, non-left hemispheric, right hemispheric. I was gesturing. Right hemispheric. But it's probably opposite for you guys too. I just realized that. But that allows for us to tap into, boop, plug into our right hemisphere dominance, which then gives us the information through insight, through, you know, maybe it is like, oh yeah, that's right, I did have a fight with Mary. I'm probably unresolved. Maybe I should journal that out, right? So instead of just jumping, making assumptions or jumping the gun and drawing conclusions. Yeah, this is really, really fantastic. So in a way, this is really meta because I do this on a lot of calls, but on this call, it's really fun, which is like to slow things down and take this word, this concept flow, and we're just kind of circling it and checking in with it. And Amy shared her story at the beginning, right? It's all very like organic exploration. And we're like, well, control and flow would seem automatically, it would seem like they're opposites, but wait a minute, what if control is a part of flow, right? It's like, that's interesting. So we're in slowing this down. And again, like most themes that if, with these calls, it's intentional that I'm like, let's check out, let's like kind of see what's underneath our baseline definitions of things or assumptions of things, and actually have a conscious experience of what we think of, what flow means to us consciously, right, and our experience of it. And then let's like talk about all the cool science and applications and stuff like that. But yeah, so all right, so let's continue the exploration a little bit here. Gosh, time flies. How does it happen? So I'm gonna pull this part out for exploration. This noticing that flow seems to be a movement, and also there's like a peace to it, like a stillness. And Kim, I love how, or I really appreciate how there is an observation that it's maybe before there was an assumption that flow is like good and not in flow is bad, right? Or that there even is a in and out of flow. But now we're starting to explore like, like, is there a not being in flow? Is control a disconnected mechanism, or is control like, oh, wow, interesting, right? So let's see. What do we think about what flow is and what flow isn't? What comes up when you think about what flow is or what flow isn't? And we can just popcorn this right now and see what kind of automatically comes up. You don't have to overthink it, of course.
Yeah, to me, sometimes, you know, the constriction and then the expansion, it's just if there's too tight a boundary, you know, there's too tight a boundary that all you can think of is one thought, or to me that it shows up as thoughts, like repetitive thoughts that take me out of flow, or other than expanding into what is exactly happening now. But I had a very radical thought just a second ago. What if everything that's happening is fucking flow? And we just need to ride the wave.
Dun, 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 dun.
That we are always in the flow of the created and you know, manifest and unmanifest energies of the universe. How could we not be in flow? Mind blowing, peace and love. Where's my hippie beads? Yes. But true, how could we not be in flow? Come on, people. But so what are we talking about?
Mm-hmm. What are we talking about?
Yeah. What are we talking about?
Well, it takes me back to the river analogy, right? Mm-hmm. Like the river is always moving. Mm-hmm. And like we're like in a boat going down the river, but sometimes our boat could get stuck on the side or something, right? Mm-hmm. Branches or whatever, right? So mm-hmm. when you said what it is and what it isn't, I was thinking static versus dynamic. Mm-hmm. And but when I think is not static, there are some moments, like we talked about, where it might be still, but it's still dynamic, because dynamic just means changing, right? Mm. So, I guess I'll say it is dynamic.
Mm-hmm. And what if when you're stuck in the boat, you discover a new plant that cures cancer? I'm just saying that everybody if we open our eyes, and I'm going to pull in, like, just, God, just bear with me. I'm just.
You're in the flow tonight. Coming down,
babe. This is amazing. Yes.
It brings to mind the myth of Narcissus, who is so myopic and overtaken by his own beautiful reflection that he doesn't see the beautiful lake and the trees and the flowers, and that there's a whole other world going on around him that isn't his own reflection. It's not even him. It's the reflection of his body.
Right.
Yeah. And one other like thing. So the still point that I'm getting at, I think, is the observer. Right? Because the flow is going to flow, but something's got to observe the flow. The still observer. Or we wouldn't know we were in flow, or feel like flow, or feel like what's flow. So there is that still point way back up. That's our observing observer. That's still, always still. Just saying that, just working on me right now.
Yeah.
A few minutes.
Yeah. So let's explore the relationship between the observer and flow. So there seems to be, I'm going to use a couple different words for this. Let me know if this isn't what you were pointing at, Amy. There seems to be an awakeness and an awareness that happens with flow. Is that what you're kind of pointing
out? Well, I mean, we're always observing in that space. We're either aware of it, or we're not aware of that observer space. But we always know, I'm tired. Wow, I'm in flow. Wow, that was a great moment. Well, who, you know, what's observing, right? What is that still?
So that's the awakeness.
The awakeness. That's a great word.
I mean, I'm going to use it to, you know, connect with Fawn's terms.
Yeah, peace and love. Yeah, like absolutely. The awakeness, the awareness that's always there, that we're part of. We know we're there. We know when we're sleeping. We know exactly how we slept. There's that part of us that knows you slept really well. Or that part of us that goes, you didn't. So even when we're unconscious, we have an awareness. So yeah, it's always there, an awareness, the inner awareness. I just think it's how we think, right? So if we think everything's in flow, even the shitty things that are going on in the world, what if it's like, we just can't see the whole picture, man. Like, it's a big picture. It is like, our own psyches are infinite. When you think about that, our bodies are actually infinite space. Like, they are the knowledge that we carry, the, you know, the energy in them. Most of the time, I think we just live in an incredible mystery, and we should enjoy the ride.
So this is awesome. So
am I getting too heavy? Oh boy.
No. This, I mean, we'll play with it here.
Okay.
So let's come back, right, to this thing of what is flow? What did we think flow was before this conversation? Right. Like, what are we talking about when we talk about flow? It seems like it's a thing. It seems like it's a thing, and that there's a thing, it being a thing, and then there's a it like not being in the thing, right? Like prior to this, like there's being in the flow, and then there's being out of the flow. Or there's what qualifies as being a part of the flow of something or a situation or the world or a timeline or events playing out. But then there's, you know, kind of an assumption maybe that there's such a thing as a not being in the flow. Right.
Okay. I know, like my little brain is like,
right,
okay, so what's coming to my mind now is like an openness. like I had to go back to the basics. And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, forget all this esoteric stuff. I'm just chilling with my friends. And somebody said, oh, I'm just going with the flow. Then in my mind, that just means, you know what? We're just going to see what happens. We're going to, like, I'm not going to, I don't want to go here, or I'm not dressed for that. Like, you know, you're not going to get into all that, right? You're just going to be like, okay, let's just see what unfolds, right? No. So I see it as a way of not resisting whatever is happening.
That is so good.
Yeah.
I know, everyone's like, it's going to happen regardless. So just
don't fight it, right?
Yeah. Because then that's just life. Like, it doesn't have to be a you individually in the flow, or like Fawn said, being part of the bigger flow. It's all just
flow. Yeah, let's just see what happens. We get in the car, we just ride. We don't know who we go see, right?
Don't worry about gas.
There was a party going on you didn't know about, you know.
And when it runs out of gas, we're in the flow. We're just gonna flow to the gas station.
Well, I love that. You got to bring in the right and the left brain. That's where they work together, like, you know, going, check the gas. Oh, right, the gas.
Okay. Mm.
Because you can't just be one or the other, right?
I mean, you can.
Well, it doesn't go well. Then
let's check that out right there.
You're in the psych hospital then. Yeah. You're like psychotic. You could be like an amazing spiritual genius or something, but we do live in the culture we live in. Balance, right? Balance. I'm going with the always in the flow.
Yeah. So the not resisting whatever is happening.
That was brilliant.
Mm. Yeah, all of us, our ears are, here's the microphone, Deborah, drop the mic. Let me just pick that up off the ground for you. Yeah, not resisting whatever's happening. Okay, cool. So we're getting closer to like a felt sense of what this flow thing might be, or if it's a thing that is a thing that can be.
No.
Jury's still, we're deliberating over here, right? Okay, so flow. Let's talk about resistance. What is this thing that this resistance thing? So let's say we're in the flow, right? And then resistance happens.
I'm against it, generally.
You're against resistance. You're double negative. You're like, I'm just gonna double negative my way out of here. -1 + -1. This is awesome.
It seems like that resistance would start moving towards, I think it was Kim or somebody who mentioned the control. It feels like once you start resisting, you start moving back into the control piece.
Let's talk about control. This is great. Yeah. Resistance starts moving into control.
You know, when I think of flow and control, there's something that comes in that is directing, maybe not controlling, but there is something that, right? Because you intuitively sort of know what to do next when you're in flow. I don't know what you guys' work is, but, you know, it just comes and you know, but you're riding and you're directing a little bit, but it's not like so much in a, it doesn't so much come from a thought. I mean, I know if they're a thought. And this is maybe what I'm trying to...
Nice. No, this is great. Keep going.
Like, feet, right and left. I mean, let's go back to the boat on the river. There is a rudder, you know. There's a rudder. There's there's a way to vehicle. I always think of a sailboat. I don't know why I like the sailboat. Mm-hmm. Because we can't control the wind, but we can control the sail. And sometimes you got to drop sail if there's no wind and just be. And that can also be a flow state, right? You're just in the being of, and then till the wind comes up, and then you can get your sails right and go where you want to go. But you can't resist anything when you're out on the sea. It is what it is.
But that analogy reminds me of, made me think that control is just the fear of not knowing what comes next. Like when Amy was talking just now, like the resistance comes, or even the control comes with, wait, I don't know what's coming, or I don't know where I'm going. And that's fear. That's scary, you know?
Yeah, it's not trusting.
Which also brought up for me, listening to both of you, is that the importance of being in the moment, right? Like, even though we're talking about flow, it's not that static moment, but a dynamic moment, right? Like that moment, like it's like, I'm present. Like, you know, each moment along the path, right? Along the flow, it's like a constant being present. And that would take the fear away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're just trusting in this moment that I'll know what to do. And then the next moment, I'll know what to do.
And sometimes we don't know what to do. And that's
what we do. I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I don't know what to do. So I'm gonna.
I just feel like even the not knowing is knowing, though, right?
Hey, we're
like,
on the same. We're on the same.
Yeah,
we're here. We're in flow.
I was gonna start interrupt. I was gonna say that, you know, one thing I've realized, and I say to myself often, is, "Oh, I don't know, or I don't have control over this, and I'm okay with it," you know, and then like that keeps me. That keeps me in a flow state when I'm like, I don't know, and that's okay.
That is okay. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I may never know.
Right? Yeah. That's my phrase too, girl. It's like, that is okay. And that is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say that is okay a lot regarding a lot of things, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. So what are we saying that is okay to, right? Like, what are we talking to when we say that?
Do you think it's, I'm just going off the top of my head, but do you think it's mostly associated with things that are outside of your control? Or am I overgeneralizing it and maybe I'm off here?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly falls, I think, under the shared experience of when this comes up. So when we say, I don't know, or it's out of my control, and that's okay, it's almost like we're talking to somebody, right? Or we're like.
Mm-hmm. The big S or the little S, no.
Self?
Right? The little self or the big self?
Uh-huh. You're bouncing ideas off of yourself. You know, like sometimes we speak to each other, right? We get ideas from each other, and like we kind of think out loud and exchange, and people have comments. It's kind of like, it's like you're having that with yourself. You're bouncing those ideas off yourself. You're like, oh, I don't know. I guess it's okay. You know, like you kind of, there's an instant relief there that you feel. And I think that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like a dialogue with you, like a like you're talking to someone else, or you're
self-talk.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I think what's occurring to me is that we're taking a different perspective. We're like going from one perspective of like, I don't know, and the assumption being like, oh fuck, that's not okay, right? To like, I don't know, and that's okay.
And that's okay. Yeah.
It's like a different relating with the situation, right?
Mm-hmm. I do it some lately. I catch my judgments a lot more. I consider myself to be a pretty open-minded person, but even with practice and just like I have recently been telling myself, especially in new experiences, like I don't understand this, and then I try to figure it out, and I'm like, I'll understand it if I do this, or maybe I should avoid it, and then I realize, I'm like, oh, I don't get it. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, just stay open then, you know, it's not for me to understand right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I feel like I'll know what I'm supposed to know, so whatever, right? Move on.
Yeah. I mean, forcing it is, I think when you try to force it, right, when you resist it, it's like you're losing connections with people, you know, especially when it involves other people. It's like, you know, maybe someone's sharing an experience and you don't understand it, but not understanding it helps you, like, I think, listen. I mean,
you realize like you need another. Yeah, right.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just trying to follow what you were saying. Keep going.
Yeah. I think that was it, though. It was like, yeah I think once
when you say you listen to other people, is like, then you realize to go outside yourself and not be so self-centered. Like that narcissism you talked about, Amy, right? It's like, oh, let's open this up and see what the wisdom of the group or whatever, you know?
I didn't make that connection, but I see what you mean.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
That's what I got from what you were saying.
That's good.
Where were you going with it, Layla?
I'm kind of lost now, honestly.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No. I think you brought up an interesting point, because I think, like, when Amy, you were talking about I think it was a book, right? And he looks in the mirror and, you know, only sees his own beauty, and he's not seeing anything around him. And then when you're caught up in your own head, you know, which I avoid doing, right? But it still happens. When you're caught up in your own head, you fail to hear other people as they're sharing, or you don't see the shared experience. It's very much here. Is that what you're saying, Deborah? I don't know if I'm on the right track or not, but that's how.
Well, I was on your track, girl. So hey. Yeah.
Is that what you meant though when you were sharing that?
Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
Okay. Yeah.
When you talked about how you're ignoring everything around you and you're just focusing on, right? That's not helpful.
It's not. That's good. Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. So here we've got some clues to our puzzle here, right? So we've got the I don't know and that's okay, which does something different than I don't know and shit, that's not good. I better control this or try to control it, right? Layla, you said something beautiful. Forcing loses connections. Forcing loses, we lose the connection when we force things. When we're caught up in our own head, we can miss the peripheral of everything else around us. So there's something going on here with attention. Something going on here with acceptance versus resistance, right? And this fear of not knowing what comes next, which is a thought, right? Like, I don't know what's going to happen, so better get into solution finding mode and like control mode. Because I don't know, and that's not okay. Right? So there's some kind of underlying thing that's like, it's not okay to not know, which it sounds like takes us out of flow when that pops up, right? We're like cruising along, situation's unfolding, and bloop, a thought comes up of like, I don't know how this is going to play out. And if it's attached to it and that's not okay, then that's when we start to contract or we lose connection,
yeah.
Right? We're like, we're artificially, now we're like, oh God, got it. I need to do something about this. Like, let me step in, right? Versus, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh yeah, that's okay. let's just see what happens here. I'll know when I need to know, right? Kind of staying with the flow. Even if that flow is in an eddy and we're checking out the plant that might cure cancer.
Okay.
we're in the flow of the I don't know. Right? So this is so fun. This is so beautiful. And the simplicity at the common denominator of all, really all of these themes seems to come to something around our attention, our thinking, and then our assumptions about our attention and our thinking, right? So on the one hand, if we're having an experience and we're fully present, right? Which that's another, let's unpack presence, because that was a life changer for me to unpack for myself. I was like, what? Everybody doesn't experience presence the same way? This whole time I've been saying presence, like everybody knows, like has the same reference point. Turns out we don't. Like when I say, oh, I'm present, I have no idea if that's what presence means, the experience of presence is for somebody else. So there's something about being present, and almost like there's a dimensionality of presence, right? Like, so we're like tuned in, we're super aware. This thing is happening. We're in flow. We know we're in flow. We can feel we're in flow, right? We're going to the party in the car and we're running out of gas and let's go. Let's see what happens here. And then thinking can pop in and it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do. And that can come in and go back out like nothing. Cool. We're that's okay. We're still going to drive the car. But if the thinking comes in and it goes through this like meaning making judgment machine.
I was going to say, and we attach judgment to it. Yep. That's the problem.
Evaluative judgment, good, bad, better, worse, right, wrong, right?
Yep.
Then our experience, that forced, we lose connection. We lose connection. So it's not that we're not in the flow, perhaps. I'm just going to put this on the table. Perhaps it's not that we're not in the flow. We just think we're not. We're thinking like we're not in the flow.
So we can't ever get out.
It's like my river,
we just
right?
Think we're out.
We're never getting out.
The river is always moving, but what is your attitude while you're on the boat, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. So true. Exactly. Exactly. It's all how we think about it.
It's all how we think about
it. All how we think about it.
Bingo.
So that if everything is in flow, then everything's in flow. And I can have feelings about that, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't like this part of the flow. But I'm embracing this part of the flow and feeling feelings that are really hard. Mm. Let's not even put a value judgment on them.
Mm.
Feeling some intense feelings.
Mm. Mm.
They'll pass because I'm in flow.
Mm.
Could it change to go?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me think again of what Fawn asked is like, who are we talking to? And then like what came to my mind is like just the natural flow of life, like what we see going on outside.
That's what I was going to say, nature. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, it's wintertime, the grass grows, or, you know, the grass doesn't grow. The things that happen in nature happen, and we don't even notice sometimes like there's just a flow going on. And I think all the time we get so mad at the weathermen, like they control the sun, the moon, the stars. You lied. You said it wasn't gonna rain today.
There's that judgment.
Yes, they don't know what they're talking about. No, they don't control it. So, I mean, you know, so it's kind of like that's the flow, you know, like that's going on and we're in it, but we've been taught that we somehow are above it, maybe.
Separate from it. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Girl, I'm thinking about that book you got me reading too. What is it, Ishmael?
Ooh. Ishmael.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What is this now?
Oh,
a book, you say? A book?
Weird. I know, right? Ooh. Yeah. And it's one that's actually good because most books, like, I want to look at the book while I'm reading. That one, like, I can just sit and listen.
Mm. Yeah. It's a great fiction.
It's
going to be the book club book for November. I decided I'm going to reopen book club, everybody. It's been a year or more.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been told that we're not in flow. Kim, is that what you're exploring?
Yeah, that we make up our own flow and what goes on out there, like we're not a part of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, like we're above nature, right?
Right.
Right. Or we can control how, you know, someone else is gonna treat us when we walk in the store or the office or the, you know, they were mean to me. So then, you know, I'm pulled out of flow because they did it to me.
Right.
So it's like, wow.
And really, it's your own thinking. It's how you perceive it and deal with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another thing that came when we try to control, when I try to control something, like, oh, I don't like the way this is going. I'm going to. Or I mean, it's that cut. You're right, Kim. I mean, it comes from fear. It's like, what if I go, you know, do something. And, you know, one of the best advice I ever got was don't just do something. Stand there.
Okay. You
That's
are
a good one.
Yes.
Be present.
That was one of my bumper stickers when I was a teenager. That's so good.
What? Don't just.
Don't just do something, stand there.
I mean, it's great advice.
Mm-hmm. And it's always like for me, I'm just always in a state of, well, I won't say always, that's too extreme, but often I find myself in a state of improving or, you know, or changing something or doing something better. And if something isn't going the way I want it to go, there's something I'm not doing, you know, or making happen. And so then I assume that some changes need to be made in the flow. And it really doesn't. Like, I just, it's part of it. Like, I'm on the, and I shared that recently. So. And it just comes so naturally. You know, I don't mean any, you know, I'm not trying to one up myself or anything. It just happens like when something's not, you know, and then also too in the flow sometimes is moving and doing something, you know, and changing. And, you know, then I think, my overactive brain says, okay, so then when do I know not to move and when to move? Like, you know, so then that really gets stuck, you know, that really gets stuck.
But to me, that goes back to being present. Mm-hmm. When you're in the present moment, what is your, like, what are you being, what do you feel you should do, right? Because that fear comes when we're in the past or in the future.
Yep.
Right now.
And I'm going to call fear out right now.
Okay.
Module 5.4 is the fallacy of fear. And this is one of those things that I'm going to be talking about on my YouTube channel that I think I'm going to get a lot of really interesting feedback about. But is it really fear? Are we really afraid? Like, will we slow that down? Like, are we really, is it that we're like afraid of what's going to happen?
We're afraid we can't control what's going to happen, maybe.
Mm.
But if we were in flow of really flow of whatever.
But are we afraid we can't control what's going to happen? Mm.
So if we're not in fear, what's the alternative?
Right.
That's the invitation.
Yeah.
That's the invitation. Uh-huh.
So is that just ego just wanting to control or...
Well, what if I heard this today from Ian McKilchrist? I'm
the brainwashing is working. Just kidding.
Girl, I swear to God, that's what I'm thinking of for real. I'm like, fine, it's totally screwing my life up. Everything I thought I knew, right?
It's a great image, and it's to the point here, to Kim's point. But if it flows, and if it goes this way or this way, it's still flowing. It's all going to flow. And what if, and maybe this is just some sort of calm place I try to get. What if it doesn't matter if I go left
or
right?
It doesn't matter.
Up or down.
That I know.
Right? If I was an actress or
it's all going to end up in the same place. Right?
Whatever it was going to be, whatever road I took, what if it was because the universe is so fucking amazing and intelligent, it's going to go and just arrange for what is supposed to be for me to be in flow.
You're going to get what's yours.
It would seem that the only thing that can perceivably take us out of flow would be our thinking.
Ourselves, yeah.
Our thinking, right? Our thinking, and specifically some kind of like an illusion, like alternate reality. Mm. Alternate realities that we were like, oh, if I don't know what I'm doing, this could happen, that could happen, this could happen, that could happen. Like, I could fuck up, my business could crash, you know, like, da 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 da, if I don't know what I'm doing. Like, that's not all, like, conscious, obviously, but there's something that we're like, it's not okay to not know, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just gonna reveal it, because we're almost at time, but... So... What if what we have been languaging as fear for our whole, you know, or what we typically language as fear? And I'm not talking about the you see someone in your house, right? And even that wasn't the expected experience of fear, right? So, like, what is fear is a really good journey to travel down and explore. Like, what is fear to me? What do I believe fear is? What do I tell myself about, like, I'm afraid that when I get on stage, I won't know what to say, right? Like, let's hit the pause button on this whole fear thing and take a look inside. What if what we think is fear and is this thing, what if it's not a thing? What if it's simply our left hemisphere or a part of us that doesn't want certain outcomes to occur?
Ooh. Yeah.
Right.
Can you give a specific example? Am I interrupting? You don't have to give an example.
No, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. It's such a casual languaging. We say it all the time. Like, oh, I'm afraid I'll, you know, the more common ones that I hear in these conversations a lot is like, I'm afraid of success, or I'm afraid of failure.
I'm afraid I won't graduate.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid I'm not going to, my clients are going to be upset with me. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid I'm letting people down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid, right? So it's like, let's say I'm cruising through a moment and I have this opportunity to travel to Italy for a consciousness conference, and my flow is like, oh my God, yes. And then my something pops up, this like, oh my God, but I'm afraid that I won't be able to, like, my clients are going to be mad at me. I'm afraid that, like, the quality of my business integrity is going to crumble. And I'm afraid of, like, you know, blah, 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 right? And so when I really hit the pause button on that, it's like I'm looking at possibilities that some part of me doesn't want to happen. And then I look at that and I'm like, what? Like, why? Okay. And then why? And if I just keep exploring it, I can sometimes find something of importance in it. Like, okay, this is a helpful thing to, like, set things up so that I don't, you know, I don't
drop the ball.
And yeah, right. So there's usually, like, a kernel at least of something helpful in the gremlin, but, or the fear. But, like, fear, we make it out to be this, like, real thing that has real power and a lot of power. Like, I'm too afraid to do that. I could never do that. You know, like, what will people think, you know?
Yeah.
So what will people think? Right? So what we have told ourselves is fear, in my experience, is 99% of the time, it's a thought construct. It's just a thought construct that we have been conditioned to believe is not okay about a simulation or a hypothetical future. And so we've been told the judgment part, right? So breaking things down, the gremlin recipe, as I've broken it down in module 4, is like that what takes us out of flow, basically, or connection with inner thrive, there's 3 parts. There's the thought that pops in. What if my clients get mad at me? And that's just the neutral thought. And then there's an emotion or a sensation that comes with that. What if my clients get mad at me? So there's like a sensation. Well, where does that sensation come in? Because the thought itself is just neutral. What if my clients get mad at me, right? What brings in that sensation is this perception of judgment of good, bad, pass, fail, better, worse. Mm-hmm. And that is, in a sense, like, rejection. Like, it's a sensitivity to some kind of a rejection, or I'm not going to be good enough. Mm. Right. And so the third part is the egoic, like, ego, like the over-exaggerated ego, the I, like, what if my clients get mad at me? Right. Mm. All of a sudden I was just in flow. Like, this is so exciting. And then wham, like, and I'm in this, like, this completely different reality now of, like, judgment, meaning, sensation, like, my self-importance, you know, like, oh. And these are all simply, honestly, phenomenon of the left hemisphere. So there it is. All of anything that can take us, the only thing that can take us out of, perceivably take us out of flow, literally, is the left hemisphere being dominant over the right in the situation, which is why we feel like we're cruising. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, something can just plop right in. And that fear can just get right in there. Gremlins are you guys are getting a lot of behind the scenes right now, but gremlins are the direct progeny of left hemisphere. Gremlins cannot arise by way of the right hemisphere. Gremlins cannot arise in the form that they come to us through as judgment. That the left hemisphere is the thing that creates judgment. Judgment is a creation. There is no ultimate better, worse, pass, fail, good, bad. Ultimately, morally, different story. But so what's awesome is that we are always in flow. Right? In this exploration, it's like, maybe we are always in flow, and there's a perception shift where we then feel like we're not. And then we feel disconnected from it. And that perception shift is the judgment, right? The judgment or all the hypotheticals that could occur, these, like, catastrophizing, right? So the great news is that if we're feeling what we would call out of flow, our system is so brilliantly designed that all that is a signal that we're the left hemisphere is at it again, is in its out of balance seat. It's trying to take over the show. It's trying to take the wheel of that car and be like, we're not going to any parties. We're not going to see what's going to happen. We're going to stick by the books. We're going to go home, eat dinner at 7, watch TV at 7:15, go to bed at 7:30. And never experience anything new.
And that would be Deborah.
Oh.
But not anymore. No.
But not anymore. Yeah. So yeah, so attention, and of course, all of this, we're talking about the same thing all the time, just from different perspectives. And I love this conversation around flow, and I'll stop talking in a second. We can do takeaways for whoever has time. What an amazing thing to realize that we're always in flow, and that it's in being in flow that we're actually able to access real wisdom. Helpful wisdom.
Yeah, and creative wisdom, I'd say too. It's not in the, you know, it's not in the program. Well, this and therefore that and that will be, and you know how that'll end, you know. It's like, no, that's not end well.
Creative wisdom, yes. Michael Neal calls it the real-time GPS system, real-time intelligence system, something like that. But all the time spontaneous creativity that's available to us in the moment.
Yeah, that there's not just that one answer, oh, it's always going to go like that. It's always going to go if I stop and I get that and then it's going to go. And then the create, you know, it's infinite possibility. You know, we know that literally is infinite possibility. Mm-hmm. But we so shut it down because it makes us feel safe.
And I wanted to share, Amy, when you talked about what if we went left versus right, Michael Neal used that GPS example, which is to me was like a game changer. Oh, like when you screw up with the GPS, it automatically redirects you, right? And it's like the same thing with our lives, right? Like it doesn't matter which way you go, you're still going to get to that destination, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And can I ask, Kim just popped something in. I wanted to ask Layla if she would explain.
Oh, bye, Miss Kim. Love you.
Oh, you have to go.
Love you, lady.
Oh, I am. Yeah. Okay, bye.
Thank you for being with us. We'll start wrapping up here, ladies, or whoever needs to hop, you're welcome to.
I just wanted to ask Layla who you are when you believe that thought, if you could explain that. I know, right?
That was a good one.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, Byron Katie in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I knew that like there was a high likelihood that there was more than one. There was like a few people in this group that have read Byron's Katie book, and anyone that hasn't
yet,
just you'll thank me later. She's fucking amazing. And then her audiobook, like I know I shouldn't do this. I bought her audiobook. On YouTube, there's another version of it, but it's a live version. So when she's doing her, when she's asking her clients these questions like this, it's live as opposed to the audio, which is scripted.
The book, yeah. So
it's. I'll type the name if you guys haven't read it. It sounds like.
It's next up in Amy's coaching journey.
Nice.
I haven't read it.
Okay. Called Loving What Is. So. That's a little background information. I'll answer it quickly. So the book is basically about what Fawn is saying about like believing. sorry, I got distracted. Okay, so it's like about like believing a thought, and then believing a thought that's more is actually a story that you made up in your head as opposed to like what actually happened. And then it's a series of questions that you can ask yourself really like pretty much anytime you're stressed out, it's usually because of a thought. And it's because of a thought that's not serving you and is not spiraling. And when you break it down and see why you're really upset, you by asking yourself a series of questions, or with a facilitator, a series of questions, mm-hmm. you realize what the thought is. You realize the thought is actually ridiculous and is a story. And then you turn it around so it's in your control. And one of the series, one of the questions is, like basically like the first one is about the thought, right? Like you break apart what the thought actually means. Like what Fawn's saying, gosh, I'm rambling, I'm sorry. But what Fawn is saying about, oh, my clients are going to be unhappy with me, even though she's so gracious every single time she leaves town, you know? We all see her emails, right? So, and then this, so you figure out what the thought is, and then one of the next questions is, like, who are you when you believe that thought? And when you think about, like, things that really upset you, like, I should be this way, or I'm not a good business person, what does that do? It usually stops you in your tracks. If you listen to your body, it's stiff, it's probably in pain in some places, and your heart's probably beating in a very uncomfortable, like, pace or whatever. But it's like, and then the next question is like, who would you be without that thought? Which is like one of my favorite questions, because it's like, well, if I didn't believe that, who would I be? Oh, I would be peaceful. You know, I would be relaxed. So anyway, that's what I meant when Fawn was answering my question. And then it just clicked with Byron Katie, that question, who are you with that thought that is not serving you? It's a story. It's a story. It's a book. It's a lie, really. And it's really just about what actually happened, what are the facts, and what control you have over that situation. That's how I interpreted that last part. But I hope that was a
I'm good so answer. Proud of you right now, Liz. That was great.
No, got it. That was
thank
great.
You. Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm so glad. Yeah. I had such a hard time explaining this book for years, and it's been coming together now. Like, I don't know why, but I've been reading this book since 2018 on and off.
It's one of the first ones I think I had you read.
Yeah.
It's Byron Katie's work is so powerful. God, I'd be happy to do another. We did an LFP call about that in 2018.
I missed it. Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, it was. The only reason I remember is because I remember what I was doing at the time. But yeah. I would be happy to. I mean, Byron Katie's work is so profound. And yeah, it's a huge part of what's happening in the LFP experience. You know, similar thing of like we're reacting and responding to like a psychological narrative, and Byron Katie's work is just a really powerful way of unpacking that and in real time. I love facilitating the work. Like I love, like, you know, it's like I'll take like 3 hours. I'm like, let's go in and dive deep, because there's like facilitating it, we're able to see where beyond our, like when I'm doing it with myself, I've done it enough with myself now that I can pretty, I don't know, it's helpful, but it's really helpful to have somebody else that can see beyond our own thinking, you know, and like, mm-hmm. but what's your experience like when you believe that thought? How do you treat yourself when you believe that thought? How do you treat other people when you believe that thought, you know, and like just get in there and then like, what would your experience be like without that thought? Oh man, that would be amazing.
Yeah, all this weight's lifted off of you. And then it's just a matter of like one session, and you see a person that's being facilitated really transform. It's really incredible. Mm-hmm. And some of these situations, like you'll see in the book, is like for Amy and Deborah, is some of the situations are severely tragic. Mm-hmm. And seeing people's transformation in their perspective is just incredible. So if anyone is mm-hmm. lucky to be facilitated, whether it's Fawn or I know there's facilitators on Byron Katie's mm-hmm. website. Mm-hmm. Like I found, like Fawn facilitated for me, and then I found someone that like I ask once in a while, and she'll take a donation. Or she has like a minimum, but you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it's, such a gift. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's such a gift. I don't use life changing often, but it changes. It's very impactful. It's
It's, thanks, Lays, for bringing that up. That's no. Sorry, it's that level of like, holy shit. It's that level of amazing. Yeah. Before I came across Michael Neal, Byron Katie was a huge, like, one of the things that was kind of a go-to, because it's an experiential, like, popping open of our internal mechanics and tapping into our innate flow and inner truth and inner thrive. It's amazing. So there's a reason she's like besties with Oprah and Eckhart Tolle, and you know, she's great. So what would our experience here? I'll leave you. Well, we can start wrapping with this. What would your experience be like without story? An interesting one to ponder.
It depends on the story, you know. That's the thing. There's good stories and there's bad stories, and there's limiting stories, and there's expanding stories, and there's stories of great possibility. And you know, I think in a way that we are stories. It depends on, like, we're thinking what story you're going to tell. What story do you want to live out? What myths do you want to live out in yourself? Or do you want to, you know, live that one for a while, and then that one for a while, and that one for a while? I mean, I think you're saying are negative stories, but I'm not sure, because human beings are stories.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of human beings, when we were even Neanderthals, they had burials. You know, there were these very early humanoids who, obviously, they made a story and they told stories around the fire. I mean, that is where all of theater comes from, and it's how we pass down knowledge to others, you know, through myth and stories. And but because they're very powerful, that it's very powerful what story we think we're living, or telling ourselves, or want to live, or, you know, when a story comes up to, it's not so much, if we know it's a story, great. If we think it's the truth, we're fucked up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Amy. Mm. Yes. The power of storytelling and myth is so integrated with us in a right hemispheric way. Because it's metaphor. Storytelling is metaphor, and we can hear, like, things land very deeply through metaphor in right hemisphere than the logical left hemisphere linguistic language judgment stories. So, great distinction. What would our experience be like without stories that include judgment?
That's good.
And it's also, I think, really important. We're convinced that we need this narrator going all the time. Do we? Do we need to, like, be telling ourselves the story of what we're experiencing? Or can we just experience for what we're experiencing?
Well, right? Yeah, that's where we want to be, the observer beyond the observer.
Who
just gets to witness and experience. Just go, whoa, what a ride.
This is crazy right now. This is amazing. Like, so we're telling a story, but it's more of a, like, and he's off. Player number three is off to second base, right? It's more of a, like a narration than a dictation than an evaluation, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. So what's awesome, Amy, in your story, just to wrap this up and start closing out, your experience, not your story, your experience and your story of your experience.
Now it's a story because I experienced it.
Now it's a story. Your we are capable of experiencing everything in life and being in flow through whatever's happening on that river, whatever's happening in that car, going to the party, whatever's. Layla, you asked 4 calls ago, you asked this question that I've been meaning to circle back, and here we are. How is it possible to experience a state of anxiety and also be in thrive mode? I have a sticky note at home with Layla's question on it, and I'm so here we are. Is it possible to be anxious?
That sounds like something I'd ask.
Right?
Of course, it has to do with anxiety. Gosh.
I can't remember what the context was, and still be in thrive mode. Is that possible, right? And it would seem from this conversation, yeah, we can have the experience, right? And like still be connected. And that's the whole thing. We're designed to be in this process, this constantly unfolding experience of life, and be, right? Be present with it.
Amen.
Yeah, it's okay to be anxious. Yeah, it's okay to not know, right? It's all okay. And that's the right hemisphere being like, here's reality. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. I will stop talking as hard as it is. I love this so much. No, I thank you so much.
I'm tired.
Yes. Okay, let's do a pithy takeaway round for whoever's up for it, and we'll be wrapped.
I don't know how to do that. So, takeaway. We're always in flow. We're always in flow.
Can I just say I love your earrings?
I do too. I always love her.
My earrings?
She's like the earrings.
I didn't even notice them when you had your hair down, but when you pulled it up, it's like, oh my God. It's so cute.
Thank you so much. Is that your takeaway? No.
I know, right? I was like, I was going to pass on the takeaway, but, and only because like it was like so much, right? Mm. But it was just a beautiful unfolding, the way you presented it to us and let us kind of discover what it is you wanted us to know. And that makes it kind of stick in my brain more. And so thank you for helping me to see that we are whole. We are not broken. And that we just get to live life, you know, and chill out. Go with the flow, man.
Go with the flow, man.
Dude.
Totally.
Thank you, Deborah.
All right, beautiful lady.
Thank you, Amy. Layla, do you want to do a quick takeaway, or are you hopping up?
I can do a quick takeaway if you guys don't.
I'm here for it.
Cool. But if you need to hop off, I understand. I realized that if flow is all the time, apparently I just learned that, right? Am I wrong? I don't know. But I think new experiences, I think that's why, one reason why I'm like so drawn to brand new experiences, where I'm, especially in travel or, you know, events out in the deserts where we're burning, putting shit on fire. At Burning Man, okay, but like you're constantly like exposed to new things all the time, and if my judgment's constantly being tested, as soon as I'm like, okay, I don't get this, then that's okay. I don't get this, and that's okay. I feel anxious, and that's okay. I don't know this. I don't know this. That's okay. Then the anxiety just like, and the fear just kind of like snaps into a different mode. It's like curiosity or happiness. Yeah. I mean, my feelings turn over so fast, and it's more, I'm in a better mood. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not very articulate because I'm still processing it, but
it's amazing.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it calls us forth to be present, like nothing else. Travel, right? Travel and new experiences.
Yeah,
we have not habituated yet.
Right, you can't go unconscious if it's brand new.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you, ladies. Oh, thank what you a all beautiful much. Flow.
Go flow. Go flow.
Have a beautiful flowy night, ladies.
Bye. Bye.